After a brief hiatus and interlude, let us now return to our series of ministering. Take the document. Everybody repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. In your document, let's turn to page 18. Up there in that first paragraph, what's in bold there needs to be adjusted. That bold heading goes to what's below it. Page 18. Also this morning, let's go to the book of Romans. Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Verse 37. I was pleasantly surprised and pleased that one who is renowned in the secular world at Whitney Houston's funeral went into this passage and did what I consider to be the real eulogy. Amen. Let's turn now today as we focus on inconsecutiveness, everybody say inconsecutiveness, of emergencies and physical secular measures. The matrix. We look in there and we see all of these inconsistencies of what we view. Life is still ordered. In fact, life is in perfect order. Nothing is out of place. Said, Pastor, how can you say that? Talking about in the actualized state of things. Nothing is out of place. In testimonials, we see trials, we see tribulations, we see troubles, and Paul deals with some of those things. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, let's start with verse 35. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. As we look at this passage to bring it into context and focus, Paul, he many times spoke of the trials and the things that he suffered as he ministered this gospel. You know, sometimes if you look at this, you would think, here's a man that God gave the revelation of the mystery to. A complete dispensation. If you're going to believe Paul's testimony, and of course, that's the word. It's really the word of God. As he writes there, a dispensation that was unknown and unheard of in the Ephesians chapter 3. That which was unknown and unheard of, that was hidden from all of the ages and generations before Paul. This was known. This was brought into enlightenment through this man. And it just seemed like God would have given him carte blanche, right? Paul, whatever you need to convey this gospel and whatever you need to do this job, hey, you got a blank check. I've already signed it. Write in what you need. I mean, that's the way we, like, the way we think. But it was just the opposite. And then the Lord allowed Paul to understand all of these things that were happening to him. And he writes in one place, when I'm weak, he is strong. I'm paraphrasing. In my weakness is strength. Through my weakness. Another time he was in the jail. He wrote concerning the persecution. And he says, all of these things have happened to me not for the hindrance of the gospel, but for the advancement of the gospel. I think of another instance where the Roman government is trying to stamp out Christianity. And the more they persecuted, the more it grew. Even the historical account of the saints of God in the Colosseum. Historically speaking. They turned the hungry lions loose on them for the entertainment of the audience. And they roared as the lion came out and they tore them asunder. And you would think that at that point that God would send down an angel and make those lions stand at attention and then turn and walk away. I mean, wouldn't that have been a great spectacle? No. You see, here's what we're going to try to put through this morning. God's ways of doing things cannot be tracked out by us. Things that doesn't make sense to us, actually, these processes are part of God's purpose. And so as the lions came to and tore them up. Now, instead of stopping the lion's mouths, as he did with Daniel, putting a wall of protection around them, as he did with the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the lions had a feast. But what he did do, I got it. He took them into transcendence above what was happening around him. And as even the historians write, they were praising and magnifying the God of their salvation. And that had more impact than if he had stopped the lion's mouth. He said, yeah, but they were slaughtered. My God, we put our greatest emphasis on what's happening now. In a short period of time, in passing sequences, ask them from the body what? Praise the Lord. Yes. Paul knew that, and he said, at the end, he knew, I believe God had given him understanding, that they were going to execute him. He was going to Nero's chopping block. I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. I'm ready. Oh my God, I'm about to get happy already. I'm ready to be offered. There's a crown of righteousness awaiting.
Yes, Lord.
Well, Pastor, that might make good script for, you know, Ephesians, but things get tough out there, boy. You forget all about that. But you shouldn't. Everything that's in our lives is put there. there, just like these things that we have just enumerated in testimony, were placed there for purpose. Everybody said purpose. Brother Deacon and everyone, let's turn to Romans 8. So, as he goes through and he lays out what he's gone through, now Paul comes into the analysis that we call the resultant of the bottom line. This is the bottom line. Brother Deacon, first read those from the King James, and then we'll the Greek, and then we'll exegete maybe a couple of those. Go ahead.
We're reading from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning verse 35, King James Version. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
And see, Paul could say it because he had what? Everything that you just mentioned, he had experienced. Read.
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.
For whose sake? For whose sake? For Christ's sake. For God's sake. Your life is not for your sake. My life is not for my sake. What's in my life is not for my sake, it is for his sake. And because it's for his sake, ultimately, it comes out for my benefit. But it's all about him. And none about us. And this is the thing that we've got to learn in life. If you don't, life will beat you up. God's purpose, God's will, God's working. God has the agenda. For his glory. And there are many things in our lives we wish that it was a different way. There's a lot of things I wish were a different way. I don't run the universe.
That's right.
Our courses are set by God. Not by us. Our life is not about what we want. But what he has decreed for his purpose. It's all about him. In another place here in Romans, Paul writes, said none of us live to ourselves. And none of us die to ourselves. If we live, the purpose of our living is to him. And when we die, we don't even die to ourselves. Our purpose for dying is not in ourselves. It is in him. So whether we live or whether we die, what? We belong to the Lord. Let me focus on the minute. We belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. We're his. Our life is about him, not about us. And I know what they're being taught in many of the mega churches, and even some of the others. Your goal. Your desire. Your dream. As though the agenda of life is what you can set. All we have is imaginary itineraries. God has coursed our life. Your life coursed before you got here.
Amen.
What's in that frame was put there, and when your conscience get there, there can't be anything except what God placed there for him, not for us.
Amen.
Don't understand this life is going to beat you up. It's going to be a very unhappy camper.
Thank you.
Read.
Verse 37
mm-hmm.
of Romans 8.
Mm-hmm.
Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors.
That's where we're going to focus today, but keep on reading.
Through him that loved us.
Everybody said, through him having loved us.
Through him having loved us.
When did he love you?
Eternity.
Before you got here. Now you're going to look around in time, which is a short period. And let that be what influences you more than the fact that according to Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, blessed, ablogitos, high praise, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, having blessed us. When? In eternity. Why you say that? In the heavenlies. Where are the heavenlies? In Christ. What did he bless us with? Spiritual blessings.
Yes. Yes, yes it is. Yes.
So here, we are dealing with the ultimacy of things.
Glory.
Rather than the immediacy of things. In that fourth verse, it said, what? Having what? He chose us in him when? Before the creation of the world. Being holy, that is a present infinitive there. And blameless before him in love. God loved you before you knew you.
That's right.
Before you knew yourself.
That's right.
Before I had the consciousness to know that I'm a vessel of mercy
mm-hmm.
and a vessel of grace
mm-hmm.
and a vessel of love,
yes.
God, according to the specifications mm-hmm. of love, mercy,
mm-hmm.
and grace, created me. I was, my God, I was created to a creature of love and mercy. I was created to be the recipient of God's goodness in eternity. And he placed me in the body of Christ before I was ever encapsulated in this vile body. And see, this is what he's drawing back on. Men of God's people rate him on physical blessings. I got a letter this week from Pastor in Ghana. It might do us well if we could just go spend 1 week there. For us to come back here and be grateful and thankful. But I'm understanding that many of them, with what they're going through, are grateful and thankful. Oh my God. God can put that. You can look at a situation and it can look like it's all messed up. It's not messed up. It's prearranged.
Come on here.
To work for you.
Yeah, man.
Ultimately for you.
Yeah,
oh, it might not seem that way while you're going through it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
It's for you.
Amen.
How can you say that? Because of who you are.
Hallelujah.
So it looked like he would have insulated and isolated Paul from all these things. No. The purpose here is testimony.
Yes.
The purpose of life is testimony.
Amen.
The purpose of our existence in the matrix is testimony.
Amen.
It is only for testimony.
Amen.
The essence of your life is that which is actualized by God's decree
Amen.
In the essence of eternality.
Amen.
That's where the action is.
Yes.
That's if we're going to follow these scriptures. If not, if we throw it away, go out there and go crazy like everybody else. Just let it beat you up. I'm going to believe God's word in what he said. I'm going to believe what we see. All right. Of course, God, only God can cause us to believe. Verse 38.
For I am persuaded.
Yeah, we're going to go into Greek and clean that up. Go ahead.
That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come.
Keep reading.
Nor height, nor depth.
Now, when he ran out of things, what did he say?
Nor any other creature or creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
My, my, my. When that, what's that fellow's name at the funeral? Tyler Perry. When he, I said, now, this is the message. Bottom line. All of the stumbling and bumbling that we do. And all of us do it. Well, we didn't do what that person did and another person did. He said, well, you did something. He said, well, it wasn't as bad as, says who? All unrighteousness is what?
Sin.
Sin.
That's right.
All of it's garbage as far as God is concerned. Of course, our garbage doesn't smell as bad as the neighbor's garbage. Oh, you all know what I'm talking about. I can excuse my depravity. I can't stand my neighbor's depravity.
Oh, God.
I hear you.
Only God could be God.
Only
God could be God. Nobody else could be God. Here is one who is perfect, righteous, holy.
Yes.
And through his eternal workings, he has taken some, not all, and conferred upon them his righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ, and given some faith and comprehension to understand, and given all that he has chosen in the actualized essence of the body of Christ, to comprehend. This is what Paul, he said, comprehend with all the saints. He was saying that in the body of Christ, all the saints comprehend this. Because we don't all comprehend this now. Now let's go to the Greek for time's sake. And Brother Deacon, let's start in verse 30, excuse me, 7. And we might not get any further than that. Amen. Read.
Now we're reading Romans chapter 8, verse 37, from the interlineal Greek text. But in these...
Now here you have their conjunction. But. Which means, what is that, Brother Diggins? That's a superordinate conjunction. Superordinate conjunction, which means that everything in the past, forget it. Look forward, because what I'm saying here overrules everything that has happened to me negative. But. Read.
But in these things.
In these things. It reads in tutis. In these things. And what things? All the things that I have just laid out. And all my misfortunes, so-called misfortunes. And all my setbacks. And all my trials.
Oh, hallelujah.
And all the things that have gone the direct opposite of what I had hoped for. I make some plans, and those plans are scuttered. In fact, to the end, that what's coming down is the direct opposite of what I planned.
Yes.
If you don't know this, you would think at that point that God has abandoned you. God doesn't love you. You know what they taught us in the past? You must have done something. You know the old Job mentality when his friend came upon him. You lost your wife. You lost your, not your wife. You lost your children. You lost your possessions. Now you're laying here all sick and afflicted. Job, you had to have done. You must have done something. That's the story. It wasn't about Job. It was about testimony. It was about the fact, first of all, of God's omniscience based upon his predetermination and actualization of the fact that Job was his and he would give Job the strength that he had also given him the enlightenment. So when the testimony came down, all of my appointed days of what? I'ma wait till my change comes. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That wasn't Job flesh talking. Flesh doesn't talk that way. Flesh says, come, hurry up, get me out of here. That's what flesh does. Free me, deliver me, save me, right now. I can't take it anymore. Oh, I've said that. I know you said that too. These things are important to understand. In these things. Everybody say in these things. Read.
But in these things, all overconquer.
All. You see, they're passing. Translated all, and it doesn't have what, Brother Deacon? Doesn't have the definite article. So that means that you read each and every. In all things, in each and everything.
We overconquer.
We overconquer. How?
Through the having loved us.
Through the having loved us. What he's saying is, we are winners, not losers. We are victors, not victims. Oh my God. It is the enablement of the Holy Spirit that has been pre-assigned that brings about that type of testimony. What has been pre-assigned is what brings about that comprehension, as that is laid out in that 39th verse, which we're not going to have time to get to today. Let's go to God. Look at that clock. Amen. One of these days. Amen. You ought to give me a couple of hours and I don't have to be rushing through this thing. Yeah. Let's go to the middle of the page there. Inconsecutiveness of the emergences, things that come about in physical, secular measures, the matrix. In other words, inconsecutive things that emerge in the matrix. Commerce. Things that's going to pop up. We go out of here today, you don't know what's facing you.
You know.
And it makes us kind of shaky. And I pray that God's people, as they learn, and cause them not to live shaky. God, according to your will, the fact that you give this knowledge to some, I petition and hope that these are the ones that you have preordained to understand and know this and live above the things that are around you each day. All right, follow this. Successiveness, everybody, Miller page 18, you got it? Say amen.
Amen.
And those that are watching by way of the webcast, you go to our audio section in there. There is an icon, and you can link this document. You're on page 18 of that section that deals with inconsecutiveness of emergences. Inconsecutive things that are coming up. Here, I don't have it in the glossary of definitions. Everybody repeat the word nascent. Everybody say nascent.
Nascent.
That means perception of things recently coming into existence. Which runs counter to the word of God that teaches us, and that's a great lesson you taught this morning, that all things are complete. Everything is complete.
Thank God.
Everything is done.
Yes.
Your tomorrow is done. Your next week is done. What's in that? Those frames, and we'll deal with that in the May conference, were sat there in eternity.
Amen.
And just sitting there waiting for your conscience to get to it.
I hear you.
It didn't just pop up. Nothing just pops up. Nothing is laying there undetermined, uncontrolled, uncharted, except in your conscience. Everything is complete in Him.
Everything.
Everybody say everything.
Everything.
It means all things. There's nothing that is left undone.
Nothing.
Now, it has manifested. It has come to our knowledge.
Right. That's right.
But nothing is nascent. Nothing recently come into existence.
Yes, sir.
Nothing pops up that wasn't before.
Amen.
Everything that is was and has been since God decreed it.
Yes.
And this is why we won't get to it today. You have the perfect tense. Which means what? A completed action with ongoing effects. So it is because it was.
It was. That's right.
So now we don't have to go through life second guessing ourselves. Right. Oh, if I had just done that, this would not have happened.
Oh.
All right, follow this. Successiveness. Everybody got it, amen?
Amen.
Everybody got it, amen?
Amen.
Successiveness seemingly composes the framework of manifestations, but in a manner that it imports the sense of humanly pride and satisfaction, as those terms, the catalyst or cause, of what actually happens or transpires. Now, what are we saying there? You look into the matrix and you see these successions of things. You know those expressions. Yes, I have all your ducks in a row.
Right.
Amen. They're in a row, but you have nothing to do with setting up the succession of what happens. The processes are of God. The purpose is of God. We dwell in the processes, but we must have faith in the purpose. Because the purpose dominates the process. The process is what we experience, we go through. All prearranged. You know, if I could do that again, I would do it a different way. There's no way possible you can go back and do it any other way than it was done. Nothing is laying there dormant. Nothing is laying there on the basis of coulda, woulda, shoulda, maybe next time. That's why sometimes we make the same dumb mistakes over and over again. So why? Because that's what the creed. I said, I'll do that thing different next time. And next time I did it the same way. Same thing. And then said, but Pastor, you're talking like we're just some numbskulls. Well, yes, it relates to intelligence in the sense of the intelligence of God. We are numbskulls. We say, Old Testament now, my ways are what? My thoughts are what? Need he say more? And don't trust your sight. Trust my word. Old Testament. My word is a what? Lamp unto your feet. And a what? So that means that your steps should be formatted in God's word. Keep reading that. We only get through that one verse. I know that's probably all we can get to today. So it is through that, in verse 37, we did finish that in the Greek, didn't we?
Yes.
We more than conquer.
More.
Now, back to our document. The great scriptures. Everybody said the great scriptures.
Great scriptures.
Written to such misinformation as illusory and imaginary propaganda, which only achieves this effect because depraved minds prefer to misconstrue life particulars in this mode. That only works because that's the way we think. But the way we think is not the way it is. You know, as we were dealing the other week, and it came out that scripture basically was saying, what is, isn't. I think we were dealing with that in Bible study Friday, Wednesday night. And what is it? What?
Is.
So when they were rejoicing, they were rejoicing in the things that didn't make sense. And this doesn't make sense. Things that he's saying here in light of what all that has happened to him. Some would look here and think that Paul has a legitimate complaint. Lord, you gave me this job, but you didn't give me the utilities that I need to perform it. That's like somebody said, rake the yard and didn't give you a fork. I maybe don't give you anything. I'm just using a very absurd example here as it relates to physicality. Through this message, an entire dispensation that encompasses a people that didn't know that they were a people. I'm speaking of those who are members of the body of Christ. All of this was riding on the ministry. And looked like he would have given them everything he needed. I just opened the path, and that's the way some of these prosperity ministers preach. You do what God said, he'll give you everything that you ask for. You do this, God will do that. And of course, it goes back to the old days. And I was coming up church days singing the song, if you make one step, God will make two. God, you take one step, God take two. In other words, he's waiting on you to put your effort out before he moves. And that was our comprehension and our thinking. And that if you do this, and if you serve the Lord, and you do this, all good things are going to happen to you. Then when tragedies come along, we're confused. We're devastated. We're forlorn. We're frustrated. We're almost, we don't have nerve enough to do it, we're almost put out with God. Because he promised to look after me and he didn't. That's human thinking. Oh, we wouldn't dare come up and say it. We're afraid. Subconsciously. That's what's going down in the back of our minds. But knowledge deals with the essence of that. Let's look into the matrix again. The most incredible contends what is so prevalent in modern day illusions, yet it feigns, affects, or gives the false impression that physicality is embargoed or it is seized in independence. In other words, what's that Invictus poem? I am the captain of my ship. Your fate is in your hand. You're driving this vessel. You're plotting the way. That's scary. That's very scary. Now here I am all depraved. And something is dependent upon me. In processes, we move. But it's in God's purpose that we dwell.
All right. Now. All right. Come on, Pastor. Uh-huh.
In God's, in processes, we participate. Uh-huh. In God's purpose, we trust. That's the difference. That's the difference. This is the message.
Glory.
This shrewd notion that self-determining human beliefs exude results in themselves simply certify that such autonomy is endowed beyond creature mediums. Yeah. I tried it. Didn't happen. Something else happened. In fact, the reverse happened. Something must be wrong with me. Absolutely, something is wrong with me. I'm depraved. But that has nothing to do with what went down. What went down was purposed by God in eternity. Been there. Waiting for me to experience.
All right. Yeah.
For his purpose.
Amen.
Otherwise, things are not going to make sense to you.
That's right.
Nothing will make sense to you. So it looks like everything there is just jammed together and things are just happening. Things don't just happen. Everything is there has to happen. It must manifest because it was decreed. If it wasn't decreed, it couldn't manifest. But because it was decreed, the only thing that must happen is what's in the decree. And Jesus in Matthew 24, he said, these things must happen. Why? Because it's decreed. All prophecy is about what is decreed. Not about what's going to happen. what already resides. Our lives are not about ourselves. It's about Him. Everybody says it's about Him. In fact, using Sister Liverwood's cliche there, basically, it's all about Him. And the scriptures actually teach us that. Everybody says all about Him. None about ourselves. Oh, God, help us to see beyond those things. All right. Oh, that clock is moving. Now, all innovative times exhibitions mirror beyond their controls on one hand, yet reveal in sovereign consistency on the other. What are we saying there? They mirror or they manifest as though they're all out of control. But everything is controlled by sovereignty. As we go through the election this year, I'm talking about not the eternal election, political election. Let's make our political statement right now. On that day in November, go to the polls and vote for whoever the Lord leads to vote for. That's it. Because all you're doing is participating in the process. Well, who's going to win? It's about purpose. Whoever God's purpose, according to His decree, has already actualized. That's who already has won. And of course, the Republicans and the Democrats can play all kind of tricks if they all want another. It's like a game, and it's like, I agree with Obama. This is the silly season.
Amen.
But we don't have to be silly with it.
Amen.
After all, our man stays in all the time, right?
All the time.
And he can't be put out.
Hallelujah.
All right. So, such a knot of illumination within themselves to themselves. I think I said it again. Such a knot of illumination within themselves to themselves. Nothing is of itself. Nothing is purpose within itself. Nothing has its own course. Its course are directed. Everything is directed. Your path, your course,
amen,
is set for you.
Amen.
You know, we don't understand. They always debated about free will and choice. You don't have a choice as to what gender you are,
no.
What race you are,
no.
What age you were born to. Who your parents were.
Amen.
Huh? What country you were born in.
Amen.
Yeah, but once I get here, it's up to me. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's like, even in the cosmos, we look out there and we see all the things that are happening, the planets and all of the things that are going on. And we say, well, we have nothing to do with that. Get the earth, we're in charge.
We're in charge.
Well, after all, God put the Adam in the garden. He said, whatever you call this, that's what it's going to be. Da, 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 da. And Adam said, well, that's a tree or that's a bird. But Adam didn't do that on his own. Adam called it a tree because he was caused to cause it a tree. But you see, if you don't understand this, when you go back into Genesis, only thing you got there to deal with is the covenant of innocence, which is very little in that color book.
Very little.
Very little known. And what is written, it's written in light of the covenant. Of what is known in that covenant. So why I wouldn't even suggest you going back into Genesis or any part of the Old Testament. Get this first. Now you're going looking back. You know, like in this age, we know that the plague that killed those people in the 11th century came from what? No, the fleas. The rats were the carrier. To this day, we have given the rats a bad name. And we treat them as right. We've given them a bad name. It was the fleas. The rats were carrying the fleas. But if you live back in that day, they were telling you that, you know, with the rampant, just overabundance of sin, God is retaliating. So it's always better looking back, isn't it? You got more information looking back. In other words, from our gospel, we're able to look down on life instead of around in life. You look down on things, not around in things. Now, Paul said in these things, but he was saying that from the vantage point of looking down on those things. So the essence of our life is this knowledge. Hence, valid questions or queries are, what compels such tendencies? How do these cliches manage to hijack consciousness? What gain is there in self-regulatory? What gain is it to have you sitting at the controls? Regulating things. Making decisions and determining things. And we don't know anything. We don't know anything.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank God.
Because when we do that, these are the things which automatically forfeits. What does it forfeit? Certainty and security. That'd be like you up 747, 50,000 feet in there. You at the controls. No, really, I'm just using that analogy. But that actually applies in life. You're determining where you go, what you do, how much. Now, as we shall read here, and our time is gone for today, but as we shall read here and we shall deal with these things, it seems as though that's what's happening. Because that's how our consciences work. We are dealt a hand. You are dealt your situation. And if you are dealt the situation, you cannot determine the result. Because it is predetermined for God's purpose. Now they're going to come after us because this doesn't make sense. To so-called rational human thinking. And we'll deal with that in the conference. How much do we have to go through? How many times we have to fall? Well, whatever times God has assigned to us for his purpose. Last paragraph and then we'll cut out for the day. These ascertained in measures the matrix merely express the fingerprints of human imaginations. What manner of interaction accomplishes when and how thoughts transmit to sensitivities that are entirely their own in occurrence? Furthermore, what benefits exhibit from humanly colonized brain space? Alas, such a view in reference to the striking problem of looking at the world in the blissful, happy ending incomprehensibility of the easy answer, simple explanation, and soundbite cultures in the matrix, or the mesh, these networks are there. And this is how to do it. There's always some panacea and said, boom, 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 boom. And you know what? Five people can try the same thing and come up with five different results. They use the same process. But you see, there were five different purposes involved. And that's where it went. It always goes to purpose, not process. All right. Wrap this up. These highly undisciplined entities reach an ever desperate need of a difficult to contest analogy, metaphysical, metaphorical, I should say, value. Maximum applicability and effective citations afforded in such. So, you're not really dealing with the unknown in the sense that it is unknown to God. Undetermined in the sense that it is not determined by God. Only in the sense that it is unknown, and thus what is unknown to us means it's undetermined. Because it's unknown. No, that's fair. In our minds, what is unknown is undetermined. That's going with the scene. What is the saying? It's determined. Predetermined. Been determined. While numerous intentions are challenged in advanced dialogue, the intense irrelevance of this haze in the experienced frames of actuality is something of a no-brainer. What are we seeing? When we look at this thing in the sense of trusting God, life is easy. Life is not hard. Life is hard when we try to do it our way. Abiding in ourselves, it's hard. Abiding in Him, it's easy. He said, preacher, you're crazy. No. I told somebody this week, I said, now listen. And I put it in their language. So you are on God's dime. You're on God's dime. Yeah. In other words, He's the boss.
He's the man. That's right.
The occurrences are what He wants, not what you want.
Glory to God. Yes.
This is why in the Old Testament it says, the light in him and he what? Direct your path.
Right.
The light in him. Basically, lesson to physicality habitually indicts madness in nature as the retribution, particularly controversial indeterminism's observations. In other words, if your total focus is on the scene, you'll miss it.
Amen.
Everybody repeat after me. It's in the scene.
It's in the scene.
Not the scene.
Not the scene.
Never has been.
Never has been.
what God has said, what God has determined, what he has laid out,
that's it.
Is that which we joyfully move in. The essence of what he has planned. Scripture says what? In everything do what?
Acknowledge him.
No, the New Testament there. The our gospel. Everything give thanks.
Yes, everything. That's right.
Because what?
This is the will of God.
This is the will of God.
Concerning
who? This couldn't be the will of God. This is this couldn't be. This can't be. The essence of our life is in Christ. There's a song that we have started to try to teach the congregation. Say, where if Jesus go with me, I'll go.
Oh, yeah.
Where?
Anywhere.
Is heaven to me, wherever I be, if he's there, I count it a privilege. I count it a joy, a privilege. His cross to bear. That's crazy. No, it's not. If Jesus go with me, I'll go. Where?
Anywhere.
Because it's about him. Our life is about Christ.
Yes.
Oh, give the Lord a praise.
Hallelujah.
Can we sing that, Sister Ruth? Can we sing that? Yes. Jesus go with me.